Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Dean McMurray, and this is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. Dean is sitting in for Cindy Chavez. She decided to take the day off here, and she'll be back next week. But Dean will also be back next week because
he's
my new Tuesday co-host.
Woo-hoo. So
David Strickle is moving on to do some other stuff. He'll be back occasionally. We'll have him in occasionally to do a little streaming because I don't know if you know David at all, but he's kind of Abraham Hicks-esque in that he streams Source Energy. He basically is able to channel Source Energy.
Nice.
Fascinating. Really, really cool. Yeah. It's like talking to him when he's in connection is like talking to Esther Hicks, but in a more gritty environment.
I love it.
And it's good. It's fun. It's been great having him on the show, and we'll definitely have him back, you know, as a guest periodically.
Right.
But from now on, you're the guy on Tuesday, and we actually have a guest we're going to have on our first show. I'll tell people more about her on the day, but her name is Serenity Sam, and she has some interesting background, been through all of the junk that you can go through to try to learn how this stuff works.
Sure.
She has like years and years of background of going through the horrible stuff, the dark nights of the soul and all that kind of thing. So, you know, it's going to make some good conversation.
And that should be fascinating to hear her story.
No kidding. Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be good.
I'm excited for that.
But I had a sort of an epiphany last night.
Uh-oh.
At around 4 a.m. Yeah. Well, no, it was a good one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 No, we don't. Not that kind. No.
Not that kind.
I'm not that guy.
Okay.
No. This is a good one. And it's on a topic that, I mean, we've all addressed. Anybody who's in these LOA circles has addressed this topic on numerous occasions. But I just saw it from a slightly different perspective than I had ever seen before. And so I wanted to bring it up to talk with you today, see if I could get your perspective on it.
Sure.
It's the basic concept of self-love. And it comes up an awful lot. It comes up usually when people are having trouble manifesting something, or, you know, maybe they're dealing with some sort of a past tape that keeps playing in their heads and it keeps coming back and haunting them. Or, you know, there's a variety of ways that it comes up. But I realized something about it that just kind of jarred me and kind of shook me out of my complacency or something. I mean, I'm reaching for all the cliches, but I'm trying to express it was really cool. And what I realized is that self-love is actually at the root of conscious creation. And not only is it at the root of it, but we have a tendency to treat it as if it were an on-off switch, as if it were black and white. You know, we'll talk to somebody who's having an issue. Oh, well, you know, your self-love isn't there. You need to work on some self-love.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is everybody loves themselves to one degree or another. It's a matter of degree that we're really talking about. And when I realized that was the case, then my mind made this big connection. Well, not only is it a matter of degree, but it's a way of measuring why it is that either we're getting what we're looking for or we're not getting what we're looking for. Because I think we can draw a direct connection. If we are loving ourselves enough, if we're feeling enough self-love, self-esteem, self-confidence, have a strong enough self-image, then our belief is going to be strong enough so that we can attract what we're trying to attract into our lives.
Right.
But if it's just not quite there, that's when the resistances kick in.
Right.
So I'm titling this episode, I went through a couple different titles differently. Actually, I'm not sure which one I'm sticking with, but is your self-esteem, is your self-love enough? Is it enough self-love? And as I started thinking about that more and more, I mean, well, thinking makes it sound like I was sitting back and pausing like the thinking statue. No, it was like, you know, thoughts were like shooting through my mind faster than I could keep up with them. It was that kind of a thinking session. But as I was thinking about them, it just really dawned on me, every single issue we can come up with that people address or raise in some way for other people to address all boil down to how much self-love are you experiencing and feeling for yourself. And and along with that goes the idea that there is no ceiling to it. No amount of self-love is too much.
Right.
And I want to touch on that for a second too, yeah. because people often say, well, what about a narcissist? You know, what about
right.
a greedy person
right.
or something?
Well,
like that?
And guilty, you know, the emotion yeah. of guilt and
yeah.
start, how much is too much, you know, because in our human, our 3D way of thinking, we think in that singular plane of saying either you got it all in one basket or the other. It's, you know, or do you try to balance it out mm-hmm. saying, you know, it by trying to give myself too much self-love in order to manifest that which I'm seeking or trying to attract, is that in a sense, am I creating an environment, that's narcissistic, or am I creating something that is very, I don't think greedy is the right word, but you know, I think
well,
a
there
lot
are different
of these,
ways you can look at it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but I think
of
a lot
variations.
Of these. Yeah, I think a lot of these emotions come up. One that comes up, and I know this is, you know, is moms, right? My wife always used the term guilty moms,
okay.
And because moms are very typical, not all moms. I don't want to put every mother.
Sure.
Sometimes dads, but when they take time from themselves, typically, or spend money on themselves, what happens? They feel guilty because they think that that money needs to go to my family or the time or whatever they're doing. Could translate to a similar situation where if you're giving yourself that, you know, paying attention to your own needs, and saying, I need this self-love for myself first before others can give it to me. I need to, you know, saying, oh my God, don't you think I should take some of that love and give it to my family? Well, you know, I think some people conversely go to the other way too. And they, you know, feel so incredibly guilty when they start doing it. But when you can see what you can manifest for you and your family or your loved ones around you or whomever, and saying, you know, by concentrating on myself, by giving myself self-love instead of seeking it from others and things around me, and understanding that it comes from within and it's already there, it always has been, but to allow it to radiate, if you will, I can thereby be a better mother, father, brother, dad, whatever, and employee, boss, and just a better human, right? And but feel better inside, in a sense. And then also conversely, attracting the things that you want in your life, those great people that you want in your tribe, so to speak, those
yes.
material objects, whether it's more money or that new house or vehicle or whatever the case is, yep. you know, when we detach from, because really the idea of needing anything is really a false aspect. We shouldn't need anything. We shouldn't need validation from people. We shouldn't, like our, say our wife or our husband or our partner. We shouldn't need validation from our children. We shouldn't even need validation from ourselves, because we should know that we're already connecting to source, right? And understand that we're still dealing with these human emotions, being in this meat suit still. And, you know, it's kind of that dance, I call it, you know, one day you're sitting on top of the mountaintop and you're zen and everything is good. And then the next day you're dealing with life and, you know, you're struggling. You're trying to swim against the current instead of with it. So yeah, I think that's important. Self-love is huge. Because so many people seek it outside of themselves instead of realizing, you know, there was a meme that was going around there for a while, and it was, you know, I think a couple, people standing there, and one had, you know, like a heart that said love and say, or sorry, happiness. and saying, oh my God, where'd you get that? I've been looking all over for it and saying, I had it inside me the whole time. And, you know, I created it and it was mine. So understanding that, you know, we're looking for things to make us happy. You really never will. And I know I'll get some argument on that because Sandine, you know, if you've ever had a kid, you know, children, they make you immensely happy. All the love and everything. Yes. But at the same time, you should love yourself and be happy with yourself before the outward projection of that emotion. Because if you're never, if you're not showing yourself enough love in the beginning, number one, you're going to have problems manifesting things in your life. And number two, you're going to have challenges in life to also receive that emotion of love. Because, you know, one of the things I still remember when my wife and I were dating at the time, and I said, I just got one question for you. I said, do you, and I wasn't even in touch with my spiritual side.
Okay.
Must have been the universe working through me, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And, that we'll go with that. And, but I said, but I said, and in all seriousness, I said, are you happy with yourself? You know, are you truly meaning, you know, do you need, you know, yes, you know, obviously, you know, she can put up with me. I make her happy. But at the same time, are you happy with yourself first? Because if somebody shows up in your life and you're not happy with you, nobody else is going to make you, you know, they're not going to fill that void. There's still going to be something missing. There's going to be a part of the equation that's still, and so the self-love aspect. And then the age-old question comes back to, well, how do I get, if I've lost connection with myself or that love, that self-love, how do I find it again? How do I, you know, feels like I'm walking around in a dark room with a extension cord trying to look for the outlet. Like, where do I plug into this at? You know, trying to walk around in the dark and be like, I know something's missing, but, and we see that all the time, right? So especially like, we have friends that, some that are fill it with addictions. We see that all over in life, but some shopping, right? Can be anything from sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever, right? So it can go from one extreme to the other. We hope that these are healthy things that we're trying to bring into our life, but, you know, it's, does that even make sense?
Yeah. You've raised a number of good points,
right,
there, and
right.
I'll try to go through a few of them and point out a few things that I was thinking about last night that tied into what you were talking about. First, I wanted to go to the topic of narcissism, which I brought up, the narcissistic concept. Right. And I realized that this is actually something I thought about before last night. I realized that there is a flaw in the way we think about narcissism, particularly within LOA circles. And that flaw becomes evident when we see the way, say, a psychologist or a psychotherapist would look at a narcissist. Because the way they look at a narcissist, it's considered a mental illness. And they actually have, in their diagnostic manual, they have like factors to look at to identify, is this person a clinically diagnosable narcissist?
Right.
And all of those factors basically add up to, I'm kind of broadly generalizing here, but I think I'm fairly safe in doing this. They basically add up to one thing. The person who's narcissistic is always looking outside of himself to get love from everybody else. And as soon as I frame it that way, I realize that's a person who doesn't love themselves very much. So it's really inaccurate to say that if you love yourself too much, you become a narcissist. It's quite opposite. It's when you don't love yourself nearly enough, not even like a little bit, like not even nearly enough. That's when you tend to become a narcissist because you believe falsely that you can't get it inside. So the only place you can go is to get it from somebody
outside.
Else.
Is outside. Right.
So that's the true nature of narcissism in my view. You also raised a very interesting point about the parent-child relationship.
Yeah.
And once again, I think that actually we can point to the idea that there are no limits to how much you can love yourself, even in a parent-child relationship, because the idea that you shouldn't be loving yourself when you should be loving your child is basically the idea that says love is finite. There's only so much love to go around. It's scarce. And when you frame it that way, you realize, well, that's not true.
It's like, right.
You know, I mean, the example that Cindy Chavez and I like to use is, you know, when you're on the airplane and they're reading to you the instructions about what to do in an emergency, and they say, if there is an emergency and the air masks drop down, put the mask on your own face before you put it on your child's face. Why? Because you have to have the oxygen so you can put it onto the child's face. So it's actually imperative to love yourself a lot before you can give any love to anybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Another thought that came to my mind too was we tend to kind of downgrade it in terms of, I framed it as greediness or selfishness. Usually people refer to that word selfish. You're so selfish, right? And what they mean by that is you're behaving in a way I don't like.
Mm.
And that's what I mean by you being selfish. But we humans tend to kind of take it to an extreme and say, well, if someone's selfish, that means they love themselves too much. No, that's not what it means at all. it doesn't even come close to what it means. What it means is somebody else doesn't like your behavior because they want you to be doing something different.
Well, you know, the thing with that though, Walt, too, is, you know, to believe in that, isn't that really programming of other people's ideals of what something is? So we're buying into, you know, we're really, you know, if we're believing that, regardless of what it is, we're really believing what somebody else tells us, and which I'm not judging anybody, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's the scarcity mentality, right?
Exactly.
And the fear-based aspect. And that is the farthest, you know, you think of the two ends of the spectrum, right? And love being here and the fear base being here, you know, that is the opposite. It's like, oh, if you give it all away, like, you know, there's only one. You can't share this.
That's
you
right.
Can't share. I'm only one. Like, I can let you borrow it, but I need it right back. You know, it's
one
like,
per customer.
One per, hey, I only got so much to go around.
That's now. Right.
And if that was the case, if that truly was the case, you know, there wouldn't be, in my opinion, there wouldn't be as many people having children. There wouldn't be as many people getting married. There wouldn't be as many because they would, I need to hoard my love. Like I can't share it because, I only got so much now.
That's it.
Don't get greedy. I can give you a little. I might like you for a second. Then move along now. You know, it's like,
You've had more than your fair share.
Right. Like, don't get greedy now, lady. It's like, move along. Right. So, but the thing is that, you know, when we think about it is, and you brought up a great point. I love the analogy, by the way, that you guys were using about the mask.
I
think that because truly you think about that in an aircraft, you know, if there was an emergency, you can't help somebody. If you're in trouble or duress yourself, and that's, but everybody wants to what? Help everybody else. They got to fix it. They got to be the fixer. You know, 99.9% of everybody, I don't know the exact figures. I don't think anybody does, but you know, most people, everybody wants to fix it. And you know, it's like, you can't fix it if you're, you know, in the crap yourself, and you got to be able to put that oxygen mask on yourself first. Be like, oh, okay, now I got enough love to give here because I'm feeding it and saying,
and really, that happens with that too. There's an odd thing that goes along with that. The odd thing is that when you feel the need to fix this thing, but you first give yourself the love, what you find very often is it doesn't need fixing anymore.
Right. Well, you
know, the thing you thought needed fixing stops.
And here's the other thing I would like to almost try to challenge people out there to rethink their thinking or think about this. It's really not about giving away anything. It's not about giving away what you have. It's about holding space or energy for other people to come to the self-awareness of their love that they have with it. Yes, do you feel affection and love from other people by words, deeds, whatever? Yes, you do. But at the same time, you know, you're showing emotion or you're giving emotion, that energy, but at the same time, you're not giving away your power. We talk about it in the sense of, you know, give me your love. It's like, no, it's not about, hey, let's back up the pickup and shovel up. No, it's not about that. It's you come to the self-awareness that you have that within you. And, you know, when the energies connect, I believe then that is, you know, those soul energies, right? So when you meet the one and you're like, I remember before I got married and I think I asked, was it my dad or somebody? And I was asking, you know, how do you know, when to ask, you know, the person that you're dating, like, you know, hey, do you want to get married? Oh, you'll know. You'll just know. And it's like, how the hell do you know? You know, people that don't know, they're trying to figure out when they'll know. And it's like, but the energy connection, it's almost like you're scanning all the frequencies, right? And then once you get to that soul connection, so to speak, you're matching maybe the, you know, I don't know this for certain, but you know, maybe that same love frequency, maybe both of you are, you know, whatever, you know, communicating on the similar channel and be like, oh my God, you know, now I know, like, hey, I can hear it. I can feel it. Right. You just know, you know, people just say, wow, you just know. It's like,
in other words, your father was right.
Right. You know, and you know, geez, daddy was psychic. I didn't even know.
Yeah, right.
Dad didn't even know he's psychic. But you know, that, it's interesting though, because I think as a species, we have evolved, with all these sensory abilities. And, but as through time, obviously, and with, you know, to change and adapt, we get all these things in life. And I feel personally that they have gotten in the way to a degree, and it has almost created a barrier that we have to fight through to get back to ourselves, because it's a distraction from self. And so when we're looking for the self-love, it's all distracted with the smartphones and the computers and, you know, just life, right? We call it, you know, cause that's just part of our life now. And so work and everything else. And so fighting or swimming through that barrier of, okay, I need to maybe remove some of those barriers. Maybe do, you know, those are physical things I'm talking about, but are they filling a void? Are we seeking those? Are we, you know, we all see people, again, that goes back to an addiction piece, but people that are workaholics, why is that? Yes, some want to just do a great job, but other people, maybe they're trying to, oh, probably compensate for something, maybe a lack of feeling love or appreciated. That one thing that we were talking about today is about being seen, right? They want to be seen. And sometimes not just as a physical level, like, you know, like I can see you, Walter, you see me, but really see somebody, like see their soul, right? Mm-hmm. And, cause earlier today, actually the whole family and I were watching the new Disney Plus, or sorry, it's on Hulu. The, oh good Lord, Soul is the new one that's out.
Okay, from,
yes. So. And I was catching bits and pieces and, kind of quizzing, you know, and, it was really kind of fascinating, but it spurred a, you know, and of course it talks about in there about self-love, and it's interesting. It's always serendipitous, right? The way that the conversations come up, but, talking about love and all that, and kind of like what your spark is and, your purpose. And I think sometimes we walk around lost, and really when we realize that it's always there, again, we're looking for external things in our life And so where there were compensating and trying to fill it with physical material items like clothes or handbags, shoes, whatever, cars, whatever, material items, or sometimes it's empty, relationships. It's just, hey, I need people in my life. And that's where you see a lot of, people that are just kind of, how do we want to call it? Loose and single? I don't know what the appropriate term is, but, you know, but they date a lot. We'll just say that date a lot. Right. And however they go about dating is their choice. But, you know, they're looking for something in somebody else. They're looking outside of themselves is what boils down to at the end of the day to fill a void within themselves. In the end of the day that I would come back and say, you know, because there's so many nuances, because you talked about this earlier, the challenge of the, and I can't remember what term you use, but talking about like the one size fits all, or, you know, just take this one pill and, you know, it works for everybody, right? And we're in that society, like everybody wants a one-stop shop. And I don't think there's any one easy answer, because our energy, we're these souls having these earthly experiences. And so we're filled with these nuances, these energetic nuances. And I think that's why, and what I personally believe, why not one thing works for everybody else, because we're so unique individually.
Yeah, there are a lot of different modalities. There are a lot of different ways of trying to do that external outreach that you're talking about. Right. And how many of them? There are as many as there are people times 100.
Right.
You know, there are just that many.
It's just absolutely crazy.
But you mentioned technology a moment ago, and it made me think of something that I came up with. I actually came up with this about 2-3 years ago, something like that. A way to use technology to go back inside.
Mm.
Because I realized we all now carry these smartphones, right?
Yep.
And all of the smartphones have camera apps.
Yep.
And everybody knows how to take a selfie photo. Well, selfie mode is a mirror.
Yes.
So we're literally carrying a mirror around with us at all times that we can look in. So if we take out our smartphone and we open up the camera app, and we turn into selfie mode and look at ourselves, we can actually look ourselves in the eye. Well, not perfectly in the eye, because the camera's near the top, but we're looking down a little bit. But it's pretty darn close,
right?
And because we can do that, we can use the technology to reconnect to ourselves. And what I would challenge anybody to do, I've done this, anyone who's done mirror exercises has done this, but I would challenge people to take off the camera and look yourself in the eye and say to yourself, looking yourself directly in the eye and really mean it, say, I love me. And the reason I say that is, if you haven't done that before, it'll freak you out like crazy the first time that you do it.
Yeah.
But if you stick to it and keep doing that, what happens is you become more acclimated to it.
Right.
It becomes more familiar. And then if you keep doing it on a daily basis, you actually end up building self-esteem just by doing that.
I was kind of chuckling inwards, because I've done the mirror exercise, and pulling up the phone right now. And so, because in reality, because you and I both know, this is what's going to happen the first time actually somebody does it, right? So, you know, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, ooh, you know, boy.
Yeah, exactly.
My complexion isn't so great. That's not
Where'd
a good
angle. Where'd that pimple come from?
I got some extra Corona pounds kicking. Ew, you know, I should have brushed my teeth today.
The wrinkles. Oh, my God, the wrinkles.
But the inner critic comes out, right? The inner critic. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He comes out of the woodworks, or he or she, and, like, just starts, because we're our own worst critic.
Absolutely.
But as we, you know, as we go, you know, damn it, just, you know, overlook your flaws for a second and go, I love you, really quick. And even though it's like, oh, I don't know, it looks like Shrek, you know, I look like Shrek today. It's like, yeah, okay, Shrek, I love you. And then, you know, whether you laugh and go, yeah, right. And then the next day, do it again. And then by the time you're able to go, hey, good looking, how you doing? You know, it's like, how you doing, Joey Tribbiani? And, you know, it's, you know, saying, hey, I love myself. You know,
yeah.
Hey, I'm starting to see things that I didn't before. It's like I'm able to look at myself with new eyes.
Or if the I love you part is too much, because I know it was pretty much for me the first time.
pretty uncomfortable.
It was. Literally, my first mirror exercise lasted 5 seconds. I love you. Oh, God, I can't do this. That was my exercise for the day. But if you can't bring yourself to do that, you can still get the mirror out, or in this case, the smartphone,
right.
And look in the mirror and look in your own eyes and smile at yourself.
Mm.
And see if you can kind of make yourself smile just by smiling at yourself.
Right.
And if you do that, you get the same effect. You don't actually have to say the words. If the words are too uncomfortable, just give yourself a smile. You know, give yourself the seductive smile. You know?
I think the one that made me before I did a mirror exercise with myself, I did one, in a class, was with strangers, and you just got partnered up. And, of course, this is many years ago, pre-corona, right? But what the idea was is you held hands and you looked each other in the eye.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, God, I have never been I felt so naked.
Yeah.
You know, I felt so vulnerable. And it really made, cause I was like, there's nowhere to hide. There was no, you know, and that was the thing. And I think so many times, and excuse me, but I think a lot of times we bullshit ourselves. We really try to put a break, even to ourselves, which is really sad, because even if we don't want to be honest with strangers or all forthcoming, we should at least be open and honest with ourselves. And I think a lot of times we don't want to confront that which is uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And when we start doing that, there's not much space to run. It's like, I don't know. I feel kind of uncomfortable. And it's like, because, you know, our barriers are being dropped. And I don't know, because I don't have that personality trait. I don't believe, but, you know, I think when the whole corona thing, you know, kicked off, and everybody's got to wear a mask, right? And so people that had a hard time being seen, I feel personally that a lot of people that were having difficulty now that has part of their physical identity covered is having a little bit easier time to actually show up physically. Because now they feel that a part of them is obscured. Other, where we see, some kids with developmental delays that don't really want to be seen, or, they don't really want people looking at them or whatever. And, where they'll walk around with physical, maybe glasses on, some people wear, and even adults, right? And, so people will take, And this is pre-corona, but I feel that it's interesting the times that we're in as well, because now with masks, you know, it's interesting. There's an aspect of us that, for some, that it's a little bit easier to show up now because they feel that part of their identity is hidden. The people that were very, what I would call social butterflies, love to be out there. Hello, fabulous me, love to be out there. And, I think of my daughter, and even though she's very quiet, but she's a social butterfly, and same with my daughter or my wife. But now they feel that people are hidden from them, and it's harder to connect. And so, I'm sure there's others out there, and they feel that there's an aspect of society now that is removed, like the energetic or connect, the social connection. And it's an interesting dynamic. It's an interesting time. But I feel that even if you're, forced to wear because of whatever, if you got to wear facial coverings or whatever, again, if you're not feeling the connection, if you have that validation from within, we'll go back to the self-love, It's like, you know what? I don't need to see somebody smile today, even though it's nice. I love getting smiles and be like a nod or, you know, a big grin or whatever. But at the same time, if you're already happy on the inside, you know, if your heart's already smiling, then do you really need the outside validation? It sure helps, but do you need it?
Well, that's where the question that I raised last night in my mind really came into it. Because like I said, I think we all do love ourselves. The question in any given instance is, do we love ourselves enough right now? In other words, are we feeling enough of the love? Because for instance, with the example you gave with your daughter and your wife, you know, they're so used to having the interaction with the whole being.
Right.
They're not used to having the mouth and the nose covered up.
Right.
Well, if they're feeling enough self-love, then they'll find a way around that.
Right. Like, adapting. For instance,
they'll adapt it. Like I know that one thing I've been doing a lot with my eyes when I interact with somebody in a store, for instance, because that's not the only time I'm wearing a mask anyways in a store.
Right.
You know, so I'll do something really big with my eyes to make it. And sometimes I have to take my glasses off. Otherwise they won't even see it. But, you know, but nevertheless, I'll do something with my eyes, you know, eyebrows or something to make it really clear. I'm expressing some sort of an emotion so that they can connect into something. And I got to doing that because I did enough self-love work where I got past the thing about, oh my God, we're all wearing masks now.
Right.
The self-love component, I raised it a notch. And when I did, I raised my game enough to find the alternative. Another example from my own life. And I'm actually in the process of putting together a main primary talk. I'm planning to do some public speaking, and then I'm also going to create some branch talks and so forth. But in that primary talk, I am bringing in a couple of stories from my own life, including one story I've never told in public before. I've told privately to, you know, my wife or to a few friends, but I've never told publicly about my experience going to college because I'm planning to make some talks to some college students. And in that talk, I illustrate through my example just how much stress and pressure I was putting on myself at that time.
Right.
And then later on, I got out of college and I start trying different kinds of careers. I actually tried doing some sales, which was crazy because I was a complete and total introvert. But nevertheless, I tried doing that and I was actually going to be pretty good at it, but I couldn't keep at it enough to actually succeed. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what was missing. And they were doing, they were doing whatever they could in terms of positive reinforcement and, you know, trainings and books to read, you know, everything from, well, you know, I'm thinking of the ones that they gave me. They gave me W. Clement Stone, who was the inspiration of Jack Canfield. You know, I was working for Stone's company at one point, selling one of his insurances. Yeah. And I was reading his book. I was reading all the other books, you know, like reading Napoleon Hill, you know, listening to Tony Robbins. I was doing all that stuff. And I still couldn't get myself into the space of selling successfully, consistently. And so I always lost. I always gave up. I always moved away. My introversion just got in the way. And I always kept asking myself, why does this keep happening with me? Yeah, okay, I know they classify me as an introvert, but I'm a human being like any other human being. Extroverts are human beings too. Right. I have the same qualities they have. Why do I have so much trouble doing this? Why? What's the secret that I'm missing? And that's one of part of my epiphany from last night. The secret was I just didn't love myself enough. If I had loved myself enough, my vibration would have been raised high enough on a more consistent basis that none of the objections would have mattered to me. None of the resistances would have mattered. They would just melted away.
Because
I didn't give myself enough love, I couldn't quite raise the vibration up to a high enough point that I could maintain it.
I got to ask you, Walt, in sales, what was the job that you hated the most?
Cold call.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. That's very easy.
It's like the worst, right?
Real fast.
It's like the worst, right? I started when I came full time with the Army National Guard, I started as a recruiter.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, if you think of selling something that's tangible, I mean, those that of us that sell things that are non-tangible is even harder, right? But one of the things was this cold calling, and I absolutely hated it. And it was the same thing. And I remember going through books of leads calling people and getting yelled at and all this. And I just felt my energy, like I just felt defeated.
You get real small.
Yeah. And I just felt like, why am I even doing this? This sucks. Like all these,
right?
Like it's hard. And I, there was only, and I still remember today, there was one guy, he was an older senior guy there, and he was the only guy out of everybody that would kind of tell when I had been doing, and he would kind of give me a pep talk and, you know, get me going again. And because I didn't have that internal voice.
Exactly.
I didn't have that. And it was, and it took, and he saw that. It would, took him and be like, ooh, he's, you know, he's shot, right? And so it took, you know, that individual for me to bring, you know, motivate me again and be like, cause, you know, at that point I was kind of done. And a long story short, I didn't stay in recruiting very long. I didn't like that. I didn't, you know, I didn't like that aspect.
And there's no reason why you should. It's not like you have to do that in order to be a complete human being. I was just trying to answer a question for myself. That was
right. And the thing is going back to that, I think is great because, it brings up a great point is it doesn't matter if it's cold calling. It doesn't matter if it's digging ditches. It doesn't matter if you're operating a truck or whatever it is.
It could be just asking somebody out on a date.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there's a major portion for it, you know?
Right. If you're not starting with at a great level of loving yourself, you can't share that with anybody, you know?
Absolutely. You gotta have something.
It's not gonna, you gotta have some juice. You gotta have some juice in the tank. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's certainly something, crazy, but cold calling was the worst. I remember that.
Yeah. Cold calling is really tough. No doubt about that.
And my hat's off to people that make it look easy.
But you know what I've noticed about them? Cause I did make a study of the people I knew who were good at cold calling. Uh-huh. And you know what? It was as easy for them as water rolling off their back. It was not challenging. And they were in many ways what we might think of as flawed people. They had other things going on, other issues in their lives, but that wasn't one of them.
Right.
In that arena, they just loved themselves. They felt so good about themselves and there was nothing that was going to stop them. You know, they would try to teach me. I'm sure you heard this too. Well, you know, you treat it as
you
a
just
mental
gotta
issue.
Do this.
Like, well, you know that if you do 100 attempts, you're going to get X number of them. They're going to drop the yeses and all. And you keep going for the. They kept arguing all that, but I knew.
Keep
that
going for the no. Thing. Go for the celebrate every no.
That was not what was actually working inside with them. Right, I knew that wasn't it. You know,
and this
to
is
find a, out what it really was. That it was their internal self-love that they couldn't even identify. That's the thing. They didn't even realize what it was.
Do you think too, Walt, that sales or maybe cold calling, but sales was their why? Like, so in life we have, again, I'm going to go back to the show because, you know, it was fresh in my head, but talking about your spark, your purpose in life, right?
Yep.
And I know people, I mean, I have clients all the time, like, what is my purpose? And I've even been on that journey too, right? Like, what am I going to do when I grow up? And, you know, like trying to find your why, like what really drives you, like what grabs you by the cojones and be like, damn it, I'm good at this. Like I get excited when I, you know, think of, you know, again, going into, who was a sale or the guy like, do it now, do it now, do it now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Napoleon Hill and those other guys, but you know, talking about like, what really lights a fire, like what's, and a lot of people don't even realize that, but I think it gets back to, again, we'll go back to, if you don't even like yourself, if you don't have enough love for yourself, you're not even going to begin to be able to go, I don't even know what my interest is, or I don't even know what my why is. Like, why do I get up in the morning? I don't know, because I got to pay bills. Well, that's kind of a crappy answer. It's like, you should be excited about something. Well, I love video games. Well, maybe find a job about video games. I love animals. Find a job about, you know, that involves animals, because that way, every morning when you go in, you're passionate about you know, helping them or helping people or whatever the case is, you know, finding your purpose, your why. And I think once, and not saying that again, like you shared, Walt, is like those salespeople that, you know, that was just easy for them. You know, we all have other issues in our life, but if we're really right. good in a certain area of life, like, you know, it's like because we're passionate about it. It's like that fuels our why, right? And it's just like people can feel it when you get excited and it's like, oh my God, you could do, you know, and whether it's sales or whether it's real estate or whatever somebody's doing, it's nuts when you're
able. What I would submit is that why, that passion, that spark, that thing that just makes you say, yes, I want to do that, that comes directly from the self-love.
Yes.
Without the self-love, you can't find that. What is it people are always trying to do? They're trying to find their passion. I spent years trying to find mine. What I didn't realize is that the passion wasn't out there. The passion was in my self-love. I just didn't know that. And you also made another great point too. And this is something we all do. We talk about it. We talk about it in terms of, well, I lost my connection with my internal being.
Right.
Never lost it. It was there all along. It's been there all along. What we lost track of is what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's been there. I mean, I feel it. I see it. I deal with it every day. I just don't recognize it for what it is.
Yeah.
It's there. Yeah. It's always there. Yeah. It never went away. So we never actually lose the connection. It's more like we forget that that is the connection.
Yeah.
That thing, that indescribable thing inside of ourselves that we've always known is there, that's the connection. And when I recognize that, then I realize I do love myself.
Right.
I do have the connection. I may not understand what the connection is always saying to me, but I do have it.
Right. Well, you know, and going back to the analogy of the moms, right? Because they're so busy. And because I hear this over and over and over again, especially from that niche, is that, you know, here, you know, a young woman starts off 18, 19, whatever. And if she has children early on and maybe gets married at an early age, you know, all of a sudden she has all these plans and passions and is aligned with herself and all this great stuff. But then she feels now she has a child or children or whatever the case, and she feels that she needs to put their needs before hers.
Mm-hmm.
And so for life just happens for years on, you know, continues going on. Then one day when she's 30 or 40, whenever, and she all of a sudden has this epiphany or something and saying, I don't even know what I like anymore. Like, and then we start seeing these midlife crisis, you know, like trying to, I feel lost. I don't, you know, I don't even know what my interests are. I don't even know.
See them. We experience them. What are you talking about?
Right. But it's always been there. It's just been put dormant because we're putting other people's needs in front of ours for so long.
Yeah,
it just becomes a norm, right? Because again, going back to, I would feel guilty if, and I think it's a survival, you know, part of it, I think is survival too. It's like, you know, but you know, I think about it like this too, is, you know, a mother, we'll take the mother again. And if the mom does not eat during childbirth, guess what? The child will die.
Right.
Because the body sustains the child in the womb. If once the child is born and she's breastfeeding, guess what? To give nutrition to the child, guess what? Mom's got to eat, right? And, you know, consume stuff. So, you know, if she's like, no, give it all to the kid. Well, at the same time, you know, talking about that, you have to, again, going back to the analogy of putting your mask on first so you can help other people. I don't think it's a, you know, it's a something to feel guilty about, to, you know.
No.
And I think it's more of a, I almost want to say like, you know, other people's, you know, construct of, and I don't know when it started.
Program.
Yeah, it's a programming. And it's like, ooh, you know, ooh, don't you think that you should, you know, put, you know, your children's needs, like, you know,
I always get the hairs on the back of my neck start to rise when I hear a sentence begin with the words, "Don't you think you should?" As soon as I hear that, I'm worried. I know that I'm about to be misled in some way. I know for a fact that somebody else's agenda is at play here. It's not me. It's somebody else.
Right, right, right. Yep. Somebody else's agenda.
Yeah.
Because he started that with think. It's like, nah, I just know.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I think that's, but you know, it's, and it's so diverse. It is so multi-level that again, not, there's no one right answer. But I think, Walt, that the hit on over and over again is, for most people, starting back, going back to the beginning of saying, where are you at with loving yourself? How's that going for you? You know,
in fact, there are a number of teachers, and I can think of a couple off the top of my head. One of them is Napoleon Hill. We mentioned him. Another one is Neville Goddard. But there are a number of these teachers who, well, heck, the philosopher Rene Descartes did this too.
Right.
Start with, from the very basic, from the very root of the whole system, so to speak. And they say that at the very beginning, there is I am.
Mm.
Right? That was a big Neville Goddard phrase. I am. Everything starts with I am. Consciousness, you know, the whole works. Yes. And I liked it. I mean, Cindy and I have done all the books and everything. We've enjoyed dissecting and going through all, you know, all the Neville books and all the Neville concepts, you know, detail by detail. It's great. But there was always that one piece that bugged me about it. I said, there's something missing from that. And that was part of last night's epiphany. I realized it's not a complete concept of I am unless the I am includes I love me.
Mm.
If it's just abstract I am, it doesn't have the same impact. It doesn't have the same role. It doesn't play that creative role the way that the great teachers talk about. Without the I love me portion, it just falls flat.
Right.
So anytime that we're talking about a primary axiomatic idea like I am, it's important, I think, to remember that I am includes I love me. And that if you try to separate I love me from I am, you basically are cutting the legs out from under it.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Well, and you know, I've lost count how many times, like during readings, like Spiritual Step Forward and just sharing, like, and it's typically the first and foremost, like, you know, message that, you know, hey, just want to let you know I love you, you know, that you're being loved. And of course, that's an external emotion being conveyed, whether by spirit or somebody physically. But, you know, I think that's so important.
It is.
Because it typically is lacking in a lot of areas.
And like I was saying earlier, the good news, and this is kind of why I wanted to address the whole narcissism thing to kind of get that out of the way. The good news is you really can't love yourself too much, which means we can just keep loving ourselves more and more every day.
Right.
And when we do that, our lives get better.
Right.
Tremendously better. I mean, that's what the mirror exercise is taught both of us. We both did. I don't know how long you did yours. I still do mine.
I don't.
On my first attempt, I did it for, I was planning to do it for 30 days because Jack Canfield had said, if you do the mirror exercises for 30 days, all that chatter going on in your head goes away. I said, boy, I'd love to have that chatter go away. So for the first time in my life, I actually stuck to a 30-day program. And by day 30, sure enough, the chatter had gone away. And I got so excited, I did it for 50 days. And then I stopped for a while. And then I went back to it. And I've kind of had like a go back to it and leave it alone relationship since then. But lately I do it just about every day because every single day that I do that exercise of talking to myself and praising myself in the mirror, I build up my self-esteem, my self-love, and I get much more self-confident as a result. I mean, I can look back to when I first started doing that, which is about maybe 2-3 years ago, something like that, and compare myself now to then. And I don't know of a way to quantify it, but it's just so obvious to me how much more confident I am now. And I'm sure it's because of the mirror exercises. I also have a friend who used to be a co-host here on the show. He would be an occasional co-host. He and his wife, his name is Mike. He lives in Middletown near here. And he actually came onto the show one time to share his experience doing mirror exercises after he had heard me going on about mirror exercises. And to this day, he tells me it made all the difference in his life. He had all these issues he was dealing with, and to a large extent, he still deals with them. But doing the mirror exercises, it was like getting into the fast lane in terms of solving them.
Isn't that interesting?
It really is interesting. Yeah. I mean, people want that quick way to get stuff fixed. Well, there it is, guys. Do the I love me work. And boy, that'll really pick it up fast.
Here's a problem though, Walt, that I've found.
What's that?
And this doesn't apply to everybody. I know it doesn't, but some people don't want to put in the work. Some people don't want
to
do the work.
Then I have to ask, how much do you really want it?
Well, right. How bad do you, how bad, you know,
it
because they
want.
It
doesn't sound like you want it all that much.
You know, but at the same time, they want the pill effect. They just want to take a pill and done. And, you know, but understanding that they have to put in work to get the results. This is like going to the gym, right? Mm. And it's like, you just don't take one. I was talking about this the other day about, you know, you just don't go and take one Pilates class and expect to be, you know, the next gymnast, for the, you know, the next Olympics. So, you know, you got to continually put in the time and continually do it.
There is one good thing though. The one good thing is I think the hardest part is getting past the first 10 days.
Mm.
The first 10 days are the first two are the rough ones.
Do you feel
that's a little bit easier?
Do you feel that's creating new muscle memory as far as making it new normal?
Yeah, it's doing that, but it's also creating a new filter, because we have like our brains and our bodies are filtration systems, right? The stream of David was making that point yesterday. And in that filtration, we have – that's where all the tapes play, right? That's where the old tapes play. Yep. Well, we're basically creating a new tape, and it takes a little while to record that tape and really burn it into the system.
Yep.
But once it's burned in – then it's easy to play. I mean, we know how easy it is to play tapes. I mean, once they're playing, you can almost not even stop them. Well, that's what happens here. You start playing this tape, and that's why it's like 10 days or so. After you've been doing it for like 10 days, it becomes so much easier. It's like, oh, shoot, I can do mirror exercises today. That's no big deal. Whereas 10 days ago, it's like, oh, God, do I have to do this?
It's like, right. Well, it's like, you know, I can't remember. Somebody brought up the number like, to learn something new, it takes only like, was it 72 times or whatever, something, like muscle memory you know, like, and then, but to rewrite something, it takes like, I don't know, like it's almost double that. So you almost have to undo what you learned and then learn something new. So you're rewriting, in a sense, neural pathways in the brain and all the good juju that's going on, right? Yep. And you know, and I also use the analogy of like anybody that's ever, I used to be a big smokeless tobacco user back in the military, right? But one of the things, so anybody that's ever, you know, quit smoking or chewing tobacco, whatever, know that it's not really all that easy. And so it takes time, right? So in the beginning, it's like, ooh, this sucks. And then, but after a week or two, it's like, oh, it's getting easier. And then you don't even realize it after a while.
Yeah.
That it's just like, oh, I don't even remember when I quit. You know, it's like, it's been so long.
That's right.
So that's the same premise of if you just keep on doing it, it'll just become the new norm and you won't even think about it. Right.
Well, I can tell one thing, Dean. I can tell after our first hour doing this as an official team, this is going to be a good team. I know that's
right.
Perfect.
I'm excited for Tuesday. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So
I do want to take a moment to remind people there's the LOA Today app, which I'm going to be updating very soon to shift things around. We're going to put David's bio under a former co-host section, and we're going to add Dean in and make a few other changes that need to be made. But, you know, use the LOA Today app to send in your questions because, among other things, Dean is the military medium. And if you have a psychic question that you want to ask him, maybe you already asked Rita, but you want to ask Dean, send it in. That's what it's for. But in the meantime, Dean, it's been great. And thank you very much. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everyone.